because I was so excited to come home this morning or what, but I woke up at 4 o'clock and could not go back to sleep. And so I thought, well, I'm up. I might as well spend time with the Lord and get some work done. And so the Lord led me, not this morning, but the Lord led me to 1 Chronicles 16 here a few days ago. And as I read this, I thought, man, Lord, that's just so wonderful and perfect. As a preacher, holidays sometimes can be a little difficult and challenging because they repeat. And you don't want to be saying the same kind of stuff and, you know, reading it from the same passage and whatnot. And so I was thankful the Lord gave me this. And 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we're going to read verses 7 through 15. The ark has been brought back and put in its rightful place by David. And I want you to notice with me down in verse 7. And the Bible says, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm. Notice what it says, to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So David specifically wrote this by inspiration of God to thank the Lord. Now, the Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Watch this. Be ye mindful always of his covenant. I want you to go back up and see in verse 7, he says, I wrote this specifically to thank the Lord. And then in verse 8, he gives it out as a command. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. And this is what we like to do on Thanksgiving, just a couple of days before Thanksgiving. We like to make known his deeds among the people. As we all prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving, many of us will immediately think to count our blessings, and we will name all of the things we are thankful for in our lives. Many times, family, friends, and material blessings come to mind very quickly. As we know, joy in these things is a gift from the Lord. But as believers, we have far more to be thankful for and to be grateful for. As Christians, we have promises and blessings that are common to all that are believers in Christ. And I want you to write down four quick things tonight. I'm not going to preach, I promise. Trust me, I have preached enough in the last few days. I don't want to jar your memory. I just want you to take your Thanksgiving to another level. I want you to, and I'm not necessarily thinking that anybody doesn't thank the Lord for these things, but I want to make sure that it's said publicly. There are several things that we can be thankful for. Number one, I think we all can be thankful for hope. How many are thankful for that? We have hope. The Bible says we have the hope and assurance of salvation, assurance of heaven, and no longer need to fear what comes after our lives. Now here's your reference, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now that sounds a lot that's really wordy, but here's the reality of it. Without Christ, we have no hope. We have hope. We sing because he lives, we can face tomorrow, and we can face every day because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm thankful for. That hope means I have a home in heaven. That means I know where I'm going. Anything in this world that might take me through the valley of the shadow of death cannot be compared to the glory that I have coming to me. And so let me just challenge you in the next coming days, maybe even on Thanksgiving, either through a prayer or a physical testimony, thank the Lord for hope, that you have hope in Jesus Christ. Number two, write the word wisdom down. Wisdom. We have the guidance and the wisdom and wisdom as we live our lives from day to day in the Holy Spirit of God that was promised and given to us, so that the Lord is here present with us and we are not alone. We're not without access to his comfort. We're not without access to his wisdom, and we're not without access to him guiding us every day. Now here's your reference, John 14:6. And I will pray the Father. This is Jesus' words. And he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. Now, here's the great part about being a Christian. We've got something not just in salvation that the world doesn't have, but we have him that the world doesn't have. He lives in us, Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Man, I can be thankful for hope. I don't know how people go through life not having that hope that they're going to be in heaven and not having that clear conscience and a settled heart. But this wisdom that God gives us, let me ask you a question. What have you done with it lately? The Holy Spirit of God is to guide us into all truth. And that is a blessing. Man, then the next couple of days, thank God. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit, and thank you for giving us wisdom. Proverbs 2:1 tells us we should search diligently for that and use it. Number three, write the word fellowship down. Fellowship. How many are thankful for fellowship? I'm thankful for the fellowship of just other Christians. There are far too many people out there that are, man, they're getting together, but it's not according to what pleases the Lord. And I'm thankful that I have Christian friends that love God that I can fellowship with. We have longevity of fellowship with each other as we know that our Christian relationships will never end, but will be together in eternity. And let me say this. How many people have someone in heaven waiting for you? That's the real Thanksgiving. My mother is waiting for me in heaven. How many have a mom waiting for you in heaven? How many have a dad waiting for you in heaven? How many have a relative or a best friend waiting for you in heaven? Man, those days you will, look, you know what it's like. When we came back, all of the people at the airport, they were. I just love reunions. I said to my wife, I love reunions. I love to see people go, oh, I haven't seen you so long. And they're hugging each other and all that stuff. You know, that's what's going to, we're going to have a time when we get to heaven. We're going to see some folks that have been waiting for us for a long time in that great cloud of witnesses. And that fellowship that we have, yes, it's precious here, but watch this. It's precious there. And we have that waiting for us. Revelation 7:9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Oh, it's going to be an eternity of welcome home. Welcome home. That's going to be a day of days. And I'll just say this. There's going to be no fellowship greater than the fellowship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I have a mama that's waiting for me. And I'm thankful that there's some relatives waiting for me. But I will tell you this, I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for me. And I cannot wait for that day. Thank God for fellowship. Number four, and then I'm done. See, I told you I wasn't going to preach. Now, when I say this word, I mean it in the most spiritual sense. It's confidence. Not arrogance, not cockiness, not pride, but confidence. We have confidence, listen, in how the story ends. We have that confidence. In that evil will be defeated, and that Christ will return, and will be all things will be set absolutely right. Turn in your Bible to Revelation 21. Actually, I lied to you on accident. I have one more after this. Revelation 21. Confidence. We know how the story ends. By the way, in case you didn't know it, or if you haven't read it in a while, we're on the winning side. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Glory, hallelujah. No more global warming. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth, that's this one, folks, were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Those are some of the most blessed words in all of the Bible. And I can take true confidence, real confidence, that Jesus is going to fulfill all that he said he was going to fulfill. We also have confidence that the Lord is sovereign over all, and that even in experiencing hardship, there is not one moment of our lives that is outside of God's knowledge. It's not outside of God's control. That means wherever I go, whatever I find myself in the middle of, God knows all of that. And because of that, I can take confidence. Listen, the devil wants you to doubt where God is. The devil wants you to doubt what God knows. The devil wants you to wonder, does God even know what's going on in my life? Absolutely, yes, he knows what's going on in your life. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal life, his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Now, most people in here would say, I do really enjoy reading the Bible, especially when I understand it. But it's that suffering part that we don't really like to understand or really read about. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And we can take confidence. I said this to the church up in Vancouver on a Sunday night. I can take confidence that there's no such thing as a Christian as the last straw. Can't take one more minute, God. I just cannot take it anymore. God says, yeah, you can. Because I know you better than you, God. You know. I am in control of all things. I know exactly where you are. I know exactly how much you can take. Number five, and this is, then we're done, is care. I'm thankful for hope. I really am. I'm thankful for the wisdom of God and the fellowship of the brethren that's eternal. I'm thankful for the confidence that I can have through Christ. But I'm thankful that he cares for me. That takes your relationship, ladies and gentlemen, to a totally different level. God cares for me. Did you know someone who's never been told that? It can be a little eye-opening sometimes. God really does care for you. You mean me? They look at themselves. They don't think they're very, very likable unto God, much less to know that God loves them. To know that God loves me so much he would care for me. We have the Lord's unequaled care for us. Do you know why? Because he created you. According to Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows the number of the hairs on your head. He pays attention to each tear that you cry. He's preparing a place for us even now, and he wants us with him. Here's a verse you can write down to be thankful for, Psalm 56:8. By the way, how many have ever cried out to the Lord? I mean, physically, you just said, God, I need you so bad. You just cried. Watch this, Psalm 56:8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? God knows my sorrows. He knows your sorrows. John 17:24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. In our home, we have a tradition of going around the room and each of us taking time to say what we're most thankful for that year. Almost always, we are naming each other circumstances the Lord has rescued us from, or for his blessings that he's provided for us that year. I think that's appropriate. This year, we want to think beyond those things to the blessings we all share as believers, as Christians. And we will make sure to be grateful and thankful to the Lord for all of his amazing promises and blessings as his children. Don't just say, Lord, thank you for everything. Name it. List it. If you want other people to list it, then it would behoove all of us to say, Lord, I'm going to take a while. And you know this, if you've ever done this, if you've ever sat down and you just started really contemplating and thanking everything that you're thankful for, it's going to take a while. But I promise you this, it'll be worth it. David said, hey, the ark's here. I want you to take this, and I'm writing this for the purpose of thanking the Lord. I'm going to give it to you Asaph, and I want your singers, which, by the way, they included Obed-Edom, the guy that actually had the ark before this. I want you to go, and I want you to sing. I want you to declare the deeds of God before all the people. Why? So that they can start thinking, so that they can start remembering, so that they can be thankful. Father, we sure love you, and we thank you for this time now. And I pray as we take some testimonies that you would touch our heart. Lord, thanks for hope. Thank you so much, God, for your wisdom and your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that guides us into that truth. Thank you for the fellowship of the brethren, that it's not temporal, it's forever, it's eternal. Thank you so much, Lord, for the confidence that we can have in Christ. Lord, I pray that we would not be confident in our own flesh, but rather we would be confident in the promises of our God. And Lord, we thank you so much for caring for us. I want to say thank you, Lord, on behalf of every couple in this room. Thank you for caring for our home. Thank you for caring for our babies. Thank you for caring that much that you told us, hey, give me all your care because I care for you. Father, I pray that you bless our testimonies tonight. I pray that you bless our church and continue to do so as we remain humble before your hand in Jesus' name. Amen. How many are thankful for those things? Amen.